Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are violence and explicit sexual content.
And I have an Apple review, and this comes from Heavenly. And it says, like hanging out with your besties. I've been obsessed with you for a while. I'm a first-time mom, and my twins were in the NICU. I listen to you all the time, and it's like having my friends right there with me. Now that they are home after 80 days, and I still listen. If I'm cleaning or folding laundry or up at 4 a.m. feeding, I'm still listening. I'm pretty sure their first words are going to be horny little rats. Love you guys.
That's so cute.
The cutie.
And this week we're telling Riley all about Jack's Head by Siggy Shade. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it 3 star. I kind of liked the beginning, but then after a certain point, I was like, no. It was entertaining though.
Yeah, it was super entertaining. I'm not going to lie. I'm scared of Siggy. I'm really scared of her.
But you're like an Audrey Rush stan.
Yeah, and that's saying something. Like, things got weird.
They did. I read this a few weeks ago, so it's a little fuzzy for me. So I went back on my Fable to see what I rated it, and I gave it a 3.75. So I really liked it.
All right. Bess is currently blindfolded by her fiancé, William, and being led through their Halloween party to their bedroom for a surprise. Not only is she William's fiancé, she's also his assistant. She gets into their bedroom, and William says, "Surprise!" and takes off her blindfold. She sees him standing there in a hat, mask, and cloak, dressed like 16-string Jack, the headless highwayman who supposedly haunts the streets every Halloween looking for heads to take. She's like, cute costume, but where's the surprise? Her costume this Halloween is a sexy tavern wench, and he tells her he really enjoys her costume, and he's not the only one. She says, huh?
He turns me around, just as the bathroom door opens, revealing 2 stocky men, and they're wearing the same highwayman's costume as my fiancé. It takes several blinks to recognize his uncles, Thomas and Samuel. What's going on?
His fat, nasty uncles.
Scary.
Good old Billy says, now that you're joining the family, I gotta show you off. Uncle Sam says, yeah, if you put on a good show for us, we'll approve of you.
What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
It means what you think.
Gross.
Uncle Tom is ready to get down to business. Uncle unclaps his cape and boom, he's naked.
Ew. And he's stroking a stubby cock that even when erect barely extends past his fist. That's foul.
There's your micro penis.
Yeah.
No, I want like a loving, intimate story about a micro penis, not this.
William can tell she's about to back out, so he's like, listen, I could be with the hot blonde 10, but I chose you because you're open-minded.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Bess is like, why the fuck would you think I would be okay with this? He's a baby girl. We read a book like this last month and you loved it. And she's like, yeah, because it was fictional. Also, that made me think that they read like Credence or something.
Oh, yeah.
They're not biological.
They're not blood. It's different.
I could not move past the, I could be with the 10. I couldn't get past that.
No. She tells him that she does not want to fuck his sweaty fat uncles. He becomes the ultimate dickhead and he tells her she's a 5 at best. And if she wants to remain his fiance, she's got to give him more.
I don't want to be your fiance then. Bye.
He's rich.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, I'm a 5.
As a matter of fact,
yeah, you're right.
If she leaves now, she's not only ending this engagement, but she's also ending her employment at his law firm. She tells him to go fuck himself. Better yet, go fuck his uncles instead.
Yeah.
She leaves and he follows her outside and he gets handsy with her for the first time ever. She gets into the car and he tells her it's not safe to leave now. Headless Jack could be on the roads looking for his next victim. Also, the car she's in is the company car and as of right now, she's no longer an employee. But neither of those things stop her. She gets in her car and drives away. As she's speeding down the road, she has tears in her eyes. She feels the temperature drop, and in her rearview mirror, she sees a glowing horseman galloping towards her.
Oh my god, a shit.
She tries to outrun this horseman. She's going 80 miles per hour when something dark jumps over her car and lands in the road in front of her, causing her to hit the brakes and scream into the air. It's Headless Jack, but mysterious and kind of sexy.
He wears a similar highwayman's costume to William's, but the cloak is frayed. In one hand, he carries a double-headed axe, and in the other, a jack-o'-lantern filled with flames. Cold shivers run down my spine. There's a void above his shoulders. He doesn't have a head. There's an exclamation mark. He doesn't have a head!
Oh my god!
Headless Jack puts the flaming jack-o'-lantern on his shoulders where his head would be, and Bess decides she's gonna try to do a cute little hit-and-run action because he's probably supernatural and hopefully it'll just take him down long enough for her to drive away.
"Stand and deliver," shouts a voice deep enough to penetrate my bones. "Your noggin or your life." How the hell does he expect to take someone's head without taking their life? "Your noggin or your life?"
Your noggin.
I'd say, my noggin.
He uses his axe and cuts off the top of the car, basically making it into a convertible, and then grabs her by her throat and lifts her out of the car. Conveniently, the buttons on the top of her shirt pop open, and she's like, "Great, I'm about to be beheaded with my titties out," but the blow never comes. Jack smells like sulfur, and she's like, "Holy fuck, did this guy come from the pits of hell? My god." She's thinking of ways to literally not die, and she knew if William was here, he'd probably offer her up to him. And she's like, "Wait a minute, that's not a bad idea." She literally runs her hands all over him, and he's like, "Meh."
He doesn't react until my fingers skim his breeches. The grip on my neck loosens, allowing me to breathe. My pulse beats a rapid drum roll. It's now or never. I slide my hand down his crotch, my fingers tracing the outline of a cock almost as thick as my wrist. Bloody hell.
What a survival instinct.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't think of that. I was gonna say for a second, a wrist isn't that thick because, like, I'm just so skinny, but that is kind of thick, so never mind.
That's a pretty thick dick.
Yeah, that is a thick dick. I take it back.
She starts talking dirty to him, and she's like, "Yeah, you like that? There's more where that came from." And he lets her down gently.
"Show me what else you can do, wench." He growls, the sound going to the pulse between my legs. "Impress me, and I will spare your life." Wow, easy.
So she does just that.
He's twice the size of my ex and three times as thick. I slide my fingers over the ridge of his cockhead and stifle a moan as heat floods my pussy. This guy has some serious potential. Potential for what?
He doesn't have a head.
Yeah, what? Girl.
She's like, "This guy has some serious potential."
You guys can't even make out. He can't eat your puss.
He has a glowing pumpkin.
Filled with fire.
She's literally verbally moaning at this headless pumpkin monster dick.
It's the longest, meatiest cock, adorned with prominent veins and a bulbous head. A bead of pre-cum glistens on its tip, making me gulp. "Well," he says, his deep voice sharp with impatience. I lick my lips and run my hand along the shaft. "It's just so... Were you expecting a summer squash?" Well, were you?
He tells her, "Chip chop, get to work." So she drops down and puts his monster dick into her mouth. She's blowing him like her life depends on it, because it does, and it's really turning her on. He praises her and can immediately clock her visceral reaction to it.
"You like that?" he says, without moving the pumpkin's carved maw. "You like sucking the cock of a vengeful ghost?" Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
As long as I don't die. Yeah.
She's playing DJ on her clit over her tavern wench skirt as he starts intensely face fucking her and he's close to coming. She's so horned up right now. She's like vigorously, and I mean vigorously, rubbing her clit over her clothes so aggressively because I guess like her skirt's so thick and long that she can't pull up her skirt to get to her clit. So she's just like hardcore rubbing over her clothes.
Oh, okay.
She's getting in there.
Yeah.
She looks up at him, and all she sees is yellow from his fiery triangle eyes.
Jack is about to come, and all I can think about is how I'll swallow all his spunk. His cock swells, and a roar fills my ears that rattles my skull and hits every inch of my skin like static. The cock in my mouth pulses once, twice, three times, before he pulls out with a satisfied groan. I sit back on my heels and frown. Where's the cum? Do ghosts have dry orgasms? Part of me wanted a mouthful of jism. Jism!
Where's my jism?
Pookie deemed himself satisfied and spared her life. Just as she was about to leave, he gives her an offer. Satisfy him until sunrise and he will give her the location of 500 gold riches.
Wait, just 500?
Well, it's worth like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, $500.
It's like 1800s coins.
Yeah. Apparently, William bought one gold bar for 5,000 pounds and she has no job, no car, basically nothing now. So she's like, sex with this sexy pumpkin hunk for over 2 million pounds worth of gold? Hell yeah, brother. He vows that no harm would come to her, so she says, deal. What do I have to do? And he tells her to look at him, and their eyes lock.
For the rest of All Hallows' Eve, you will submit to my desires, he rumbles. You will give me free rein of your cunt and mouth and rump. Should you wish to end proceedings, you will leave empty-handed. Your rump!
It's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. I would do whatever. Whatever you wanted.
She has that mindset, too. You guys are very similar. He then picks her up bridal style and lays her on the top of the car that he sliced in half because he wants to see what he's working with. She pulls her skirt up and slides her panties to the side and gives him a peek.
My, my, what a comely little cunt. My clit swells at his praise. What is comely?
I think it just means pretty.
Oh.
Cutesy.
Cutesy.
I thought it was because he was going to, like, come on it.
That too.
She begs for him and he's like, use your words.
Please fuck me with that huge, thick erection. I blurt. Oh my God.
She's getting old-timey with it too.
Yeah, so crass.
He tells her she hasn't earned his dick yet, so she has to settle for Rudger. As he says that, his horse that he was riding starts walking up behind her and she's like, oh, hell no. Jack starts laughing wickedly and he's like, Rudger's my axe, not the horse. She thinks about getting fucked by his murder weapon and she's like, yeah, let me get that bag, baby. Do whatever you want to me. He's teasing her with his axe and it's causing fear with her, but she also knows that he won't hurt her, so it's really turning her on. And he's basically like cutting off all of her clothes, like getting her bare ass naked, and he's getting really close to her skin, almost nicking her but not hurting her. Right before Rudger was about to enter her, she's like, wait, can you like clean it or something? Because there was like literally blood all over it. And he pops it into his fiery mouth and it comes out squeaky clean. And now she's ready to get fucked by it.
Oh my God.
He's straight up fucking her with it. Almost to the point where she's about to tap out. But he's like, you're going to take what I give you and you're going to be thankful.
Oh my God.
But she's getting so much money after this.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's really playing on the whole tavern wench role play. And there's some 18th century dirty talk going on.
Jack continues sliding the handle in and out of my pussy, whispering words that make my toes curl. I have waited centuries to find a hussy who would take my wood. He growls, you're a special little slut. He's like, I've been waiting to find an easy bitch like you.
You might be a five, but you're easy.
Yeah. She orgasms and then he flips her on her hands and knees and tells her she's not done yet. She looks at him and he has two pistols in his hands. They look expensive. So she's like, yo, are they mine after tonight too? Our girl is getting that bag. Anything she sees, she's like,
she's hustling.
Yeah. He tells her if she can take them both, they're hers to keep. And she says, all right, clean them, then let's go. He puts one of the barrels in her pussy and then he starts working it until she's dripping wet. Then he takes it out and uses that one that's already wet for her ass.
Oh my God.
She probably also read Haunting Adeline.
Yeah. Yep. My asshole trembles. Jack eases my pucker open with a finger and thumb before resting the pistol's muzzle between my ass cheeks. It's about that time that I registered that his pistol is double-barreled. Oh, fuck, I whisper. It's going to be too big. Easy now. Warm fluid spills at the base of my spine, just before the cleft of my ass. It trickles down my crease, toward my hole. My nostrils fill with the mingled scents of cinnamon, cloves, nutmeg, and ginger. A giggle fills my chest. Is that pumpkin spice? Wait, so did he come? Or is that his spit?
It's like pumpkin slime.
Ew.
It's his special sauce.
Gross.
It does the trick and she takes it like a champ. He gives her a second to adjust to the double barrel in her ass and then he fills her vagina with the other gun.
I'm so full that I can barely breathe. Now take them, Jack roars.
He's like hardcore fucking her with his guns while manically laughing the whole time into the wind. He's like, ah! Scary.
Yeah. Ooh.
If she thought her first orgasm was good, her second one was out of this world. Coming back to reality, she hears cop sirens coming close to them, so Jack tells her it's time to take this party back to his hideout.
Jack snaps his fingers and all of a sudden she's sitting on top of his hell horse. He tells her she's naked and he will kill any bastard that lays eyes on what belongs to him, and she belongs to him until sunrise. He climbs on the horse behind her and they're off. She can feel his boner nestled in between her ass cheeks, and now she's hella soaked.
I'm still aching from the axe handle and the pistols, but a greedy part of me still needs that juicy cock. Leaning against his broad chest, I run a hand up and down his silk-covered thigh and ask, where are we going? Back to my old haunt, where we can have some real fun. Are you going to fuck me anytime soon? Jack's bellowing laugh reverberates against my back. You are as lovely as you are lustful, but there's a time and place. He's like, chill, bitch.
Coming on a little strong.
Yeah, whoa.
He reaches around and cups her puss. He tells her she's a greedy girl, and if she's patient, he'll give her more cock than she'll know what to do with. He's rubbing her clit as they ride through the forest, and he finally asks her name. She says it's Bess, and he's like, do you like this beautiful Bess? She doesn't answer, so he pinches her clit and says, never hide your pleasure from me, wench. He comments on how wet she is, but says she can do better than this and strokes her even more. He starts to finger her and she clenches her butt cheeks around his dick. Because remember, he's behind her and his boner is between her butt cheeks, so she just squeezes it with her butt cheeks.
Oh.
He uses his other hand to play with her nipple and she's on the verge of coming and begging for it, but he tells her she will take whatever he gives her and be satisfied with it. She begs for his big, monstrous cock to fuck her and he says, okay, on one condition. He brings her to the stable yard behind the cemetery and takes her inside. And she says, okay, what's the condition?
Jack sweeps his arm toward a picture on the wall. I walk to it, my jaw dropping. Staring out from behind the yellowing parchment is the drawing of a woman trussed up like a shoe horse, complete with a leather saddle on her back. My jaw drops. I whirl around to meet Jack's fiery gaze. You want me to wear a bit and bridle? He closes the distance between us, standing so close that his flames flicker against my skin. His chest heaves and his breath quickens. I want to train you like a show pony. I want to ride you so hard that you neigh for more. Any objections? What the fuck?
I was not expecting that at all.
No.
What is this, like pony play?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, in fact.
Oh, no.
She doesn't know why, but she really wants to say yes. He guarantees her it'll make her come harder than she ever has in her life. So she says, okay, train me. He clicks at her like a horse trainer, and she walks over so he can put all her new gear on.
With the gentlest of touches, Jack attaches the harness, fastens its straps around my back, and adjusts it over my boobs. He weighs one breast in his large hand and sighs. Full udders, thick teats, ready for breeding. Preening, I pull back my shoulders and shiver as he pulls on a nipple. Are you going to be my stallion? I ask. His eye flames narrow. Only if you're a good pony.
Oh my god. Great udders.
Yeah.
Also, horses don't have udders. Is she a cow?
Wait, do they when they're like, when they give birth?
I think they're just like
teats.
I don't know. I don't think they're called udders, though.
Crazy. Get your shit straight, Jack.
He puts the harness on her, and then some weird fingerless glove things, and then a bridle, and then finally a headdress. It comes complete with a pair of leather ears.
Oh my god. She's like a full pony.
She is a pony, yeah. He tells her to open her mouth, because now it's time for her bit. He tells her to bend over and comments on what a lustful little pony she is. He starts to finger blast her, and all she wants is his dick. She feels the sensation of his lubricant on her asshole again, and Jack inserts a butt plug into her. And of course, it has a horse tail attached to it.
Oh, yeah.
There it is. He tells her, good ponies get to come. Bad ponies get the crop.
Jack gives my ass a gentle squeeze. Pretty pony, see how the horsehairs rub your hungry cunt? He steps back, letting the tail fall between my spread cheeks. As the rough hairs sweep down to my pussy and graze my clit, I straighten. When am I going to get fucked?
When? They've done so much already, and she hasn't even had sex yet.
I know, but like, money. You better be a good damn horse.
Her mouth waters just looking at the bulge in his trousers, but he tells her that she can lick and suck her bit, not his cock. He attaches reins to her bridle and leads her outside, and she asks where they're going.
To the breeding shed. There's only so much beauty a man can stand before he can't resist his pony's sweet cunt. Yeah, you know, I agree.
That is what they say. She's led to a mausoleum, and she reads the words engraved on the coffin in front of her. John Ran, 31st of October, 1750 through 30th of November, 1774, with some Latin words underneath it. He bends her over the coffin and tells her, "Don't worry, it's mine." She feels strange comfort knowing it's his corpse beneath them.
"Can you handle a cock of my size, sweet slut?" he croons. "Can you take it fast and rough? Because when I start, I won't stop, even if it hurts." I give him a vigorous nod and try to push back against his hardness. He twists the butt plug, sending sparks of pleasure across my nerves. I gasp, my knees hitting the wall of the coffin. Jack parts my outer lips with his finger and runs the tip of his bare cock up and down my slit, making the most obscene wet noises.
Oh.
Macaroni in a pot. That's a wet ass pussy.
He starts to push into her, but he's huge, so she squirms. He tells her that good little ponies stay still when they're bred if they want to come. Then he thrusts all the way in, and she can feel her organs rearranging to accommodate him.
Jesus.
He starts to go faster, and this is the best sex she's ever had. He tells her he wants her to scream so loud she'll wake the dead. She comes impossibly hard, and for a moment she feels like a real pony, galloping through the night as he fucks her doggy style, holding the reins.
Oh, cute.
A dream come true. She can feel Jack spasm inside of her, but she's confused when she realizes it was another dry one. He pulls out and she moves to stand up, but he tells her he's not done with her yet, wench. He will be fucking her until the crack of dawn. He fucks her for hours on his coffin. She feels like she's about to pass out from the crazy amounts of orgasms she's had, and since Jack is dead, he doesn't have a refractory period. She falls asleep and wakes up to him carrying her to a four-poster bed. He places her in the bed and she asks about his past, but he doesn't want to elaborate on why he was cursed. He pulls her into him and they have a little snuggle buggle, and she tells him about how she broke up with her ex-fiance after he wanted her to go down on his uncles.
Fair.
This aggravates Jack, and he tells her in his day, she would have been fighting the men off because they all would have wanted her for being so beautiful, and no one has ever called her beautiful before.
She's only ever been a five.
Not even a grandma.
Not even her own mother.
Sad.
Her mom was like, "You're a five at best. I'm sorry."
Fogo.
Ugly bitch.
Yeah. Jack's fingers slide down my neck, breaking my skin out in pleasant shivers. He lingers over my collarbones before cupping my breast, big, beautiful tits, and thick nipples I would kill to suck. I arch into his touch. Jack slides his hand down to my waist and over my hips. The kind of curved waist and round belly that I've only seen on sculptures of goddesses. And the rest. He groans, his fingers clutching my thighs. Every inch of my body trembles, and I can't get enough of his words. "What about it? I wish I could taste your skin," he rumbles. "Wish I could feast on your cunt. But most of all, I wish I could kiss your sweet lips." Aww, pumpkin.
She asks what happened to his head, and he says after he was hanged for his crimes, nobody blessed his body, so his spirit remained. Then he was cut down and buried. Body snatchers then dug him up and brought him to the stables to the chaplain that he robbed. The chaplain hacked his head off and cursed him to cleanse the street of highwaymen and their descendants. He was compelled to be a killer because of this. He doesn't have a choice. And now Bess is crying. She feels horrible for Jack.
Yeah.
She asks why he didn't kill her, and he says his desire for her outweighed his urge to kill her. Nobody has ever chosen her over anything before, and she can't believe her ears. He tells her how happy he is that their paths crossed. He's never felt such satisfaction in all his time on Earth, and when he showed her his perversions, she didn't freak out. She climaxed. She tells him she loved being a pony, but most of all, she loved his cock.
Dawn approaches. "Will you give me one last moment of joy?" My pussy clenches. Jack doesn't even need to ask. "How do you want it?" He leans flat on his back. "Ride me," he rumbles. "Ride me like a stallion until the curse drags me back to hell." Yeah. All right, brother.
Bess straddles him and sits on it, and they start slow, but she knows that there's not much time left, so it turns into a frenzy. As she is looking at the pumpkin head, she swears she could see what he used to look like through the eye holes.
Oh.
They both come, and she asks if they can switch their deal. She doesn't want the gold that he promised. She only wants Jack.
Dumb.
Stupid. Ugly and dumb? God.
Terrible.
At least she's easy.
Yeah.
There is that. He's shocked, and then a ray of light comes through. The pumpkin head falls off and drops to the ground, breaking. The clothes disappear, and before she knows it, she's not on a mattress like she thought. She's on a moss-covered stone altar. She scrambles off of it when she hears car doors close and voices outside of the mausoleum. She goes to hide, but stumbles over a chest filled with gold. She whispers again that she doesn't want it. She just wants Jack. And then two police officers find her butt-ass naked.
Oh, how unfortunate.
William is right behind them, saying that they need to arrest her for grand theft auto and burglary of a family heirloom,
okay, bitch,
which is her engagement ring. She hides the gold from the three men because she knows that when she makes it out of this, she's going to use it to free Jack. William tells her that he wants to press charges unless she wants to ask for his family's forgiveness.
No. He's like, you want to suck my uncle's dick? Come on.
She says, fuck you to William, and then the officers grab her. But again, she's butt-ass naked, and the officers are getting a little handsy and a little gross when all of a sudden there's a crash. They let her go, stumbling backwards, and she asks, Jack, is that you? And now William is pissed because she was fucking someone else. Thunder rumbles and William grabs her when she notices that dawn is now approaching. So the light that they saw earlier was just from the cop car headlights, and Jack is back.
Yeah!
His headless form uses his pistols to shoot the souls out of the two cops and then send their souls to hell. And then he uses his axe to do the same with William's soul, but he doesn't send it to hell. He has other plans with it, but only with Bess's approval. She says, you can do whatever you want with that soul, but I want to be with you. So he puts William's soul with the gold so it can be cursed forever. And then he does a little ritual to possess William's body.
Oh.
So now Jack is in William's body and he gets to be with Bess. They share their first kiss and she leads him to William's car so they can go back to the mansion. When they arrive, she tells him to not speak until he learns William's posh accent, and then they confront his uncles. Because remember, he's a 1700 lowly peasant boy who robbed people.
That's right. That's right.
And talks weird.
Calls everyone a wench.
Yeah, he does say wench a lot.
You made my wench almost suck your dick.
Once they arrive, the uncles are wondering what took William so long in bringing the dumb broad back, because they've been waiting for her. Bess goes to say that she's not fucking touching them, but Jack smiles and moves his uncles into like a lineup, so they are stoked, thinking that she's just gonna take turns on them. But Jack has other plans. He quickly materializes the axe and removes the souls from the bodies, sending them to hell. Once the bodies drop to the floor, he picks Bess up.
My axe got to taste your cunt, as did my pistols. It's my turn. Yeah, he's got a mouth now.
She tells him to go upstairs, so he carries her to her old bedroom with William and lays her down. He lets her know that he will spend forever saying thank you for his freedom.
His voice trembles and he runs a hand up my exposed thigh. I have been plucked from the inferno to dine at the gates of heaven. You're hungry? I ask, my breath quickening. Only for you. He slides his hands on my knees. Now open up those gates.
I'll open those gates.
The gates to your pussy.
Let me in.
He spreads her legs open and finally gets a taste. He eats her out until she's begging for more attention on her clit.
Ah, he rises from between my legs and grins. Why did you stop? I ask. Sounds like you should ride my face. Jack takes hold of my hips and flips me over, so I'm on my hands and knees, showing him my ass and pussy. Jack places a kiss on my inner thigh and settles on the mattress between my legs. Smother me like a good girl, he rumbles. Use me as your saddle. He's really still on the ponies.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Yeah. Whoa.
She sits on his face and rides him until she comes, and this is her favorite Halloween ever. 7 years later, they're dressed up for their Halloween party. Jack has lost most of William's features and looks more like he did 2 centuries ago, but no one really notices. Which,
what?
How?
Yeah. He had a glow up. Yeah, he's rich. Cosmetic procedures.
That's true. That's mm-hmm.
crazy.
Every year on Halloween, though, he's nervous something's going to happen and he won't be able to come back to the body that he has now. But his wife, Bess, knows just how to distract him. She grabs his dick, pulls it out, and backs him up to a wall, lifting her skirt out of the way.
I'm going to fuck you hard and fast, he mumbles around the kiss. Then I'm going to pump you full of my cum. If you spill so much as a drop, I'll fill you with more. Then I'll make sure to let it trickle down my leg. No knickers. My wife is a wanton little wench. Easy access. I bite his lip and buck my hips and rub my swollen clit back and forth against the ridge of his cockhead. Now stop talking like a man from the 18th century and give me that big dick.
They come and he promises that they'll do more of their pony play tomorrow in the custom barn he made her, but they have to get back to the party.
Cute. The end.
Then they got to play ponies forever.
Oh, God.
Well, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I give it 3. I mean, it was entertaining for sure. Just, you know, don't know if I'm into ponies like that.
There was a lot of pony play. Like a surprising amount.
Yeah.
Do you think Jack is sexy?
No. Oh. Do you?
I mean, maybe.
I need a man with a head.
That's fair. It's like bare minimum. Would you trade places with Bess?
No, she's kind of a freak. And like I said, I don't want a headless man. I know he gets a head in the end, but it's her ex's head. And I'm like, why would I want that?
Yeah.
But money also. They have money.
Next week, we're telling Riley all about Grave Love by Audrey Rush. And it's going to be our last episode of 2025 before we come back for season 4 in January. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Well, it's Audrey Rush, so I know it's going to be fucked up. And it says it's a dark stalker romance. And there's like a little tombstone on the cover. I think there's going to be a man, a fucked up man. He's scary and fucked up. And I think he is going to like really enjoy digging up dead bodies in the cemeteries. He's going to be like a grave digger. Somebody that likes to like dig them up, fuck them, put them back. Or dig them up, play with them a little bit. And then he meets somebody and he like develops an interest in them. And he gets them involved in their little fucked up, in his like little fucked up cemetery games. But then the person gets a little freaked out. So then he kills them. How'd I do?
He's a grave digger.
He is a grave digger. You were starting to describe Ed Gein, so.
Yeah, I know.
He's like a little bit Ed Gein-y.
Oh, no.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.